Good morning and welcome to Adriana's Mystic Connections on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, brought to you on the second Saturday monthly from 10 to 11 a.m. Adriana's Mystic Connections is hosted by Adriana Lesniak, gifted angel reader. Adriana invites you to call in for guidance, wonderful inspiring topics, and counsel from the angels. The second half of the show, she will be offering mini readings to callers. If you would like a mini reading, please call in at 646-378-0378. I know Adriana has some wonderful guests for you today, so now I give you your host, Adriana.
Hello. Happy 2015. 2014 seemed to go by so quickly, didn't it? I think I say that every year when we get to this point. So a lot of times in New Year, January, we start working on ourselves. We decide we're going to do certain things to make ourselves better, stronger, thinner, certainly. And we try to make promises to ourselves. I read something that I thought was particularly inspiring. It said, don't try to make a promise for a year. You're setting yourself up for failure. Instead, make a promise for the day. Just for this day, I'm going to do this thing, or I'm not going to do this thing, just for today. Which makes a lot of sense to me. So, hello, happy 2015, everyone. For those of you who listened to my December show, it was funny. I was so outraged by the deaths of the people, particularly the two people, but others, in Staten Island and in Ferguson, because I did not feel like things were done correctly, and then I was outraged that the police were not charged in the grand jury trial. So then shortly after that, we had the terrible assassination of those two policemen in New York. And I was reminded forcibly that there is no such thing as justifiable anger. There is no such thing. We may think we have the right to be outraged, but we don't. You know, there's a reason why our ascended masters, our holy leaders, met violence with peace. There's a reason why Buddha taught that, and Jesus taught that, and Gandhi taught that, and Martin Luther King taught that. There's a reason. The reason is anger begets anger. And although we may have the best intentions in mind, what are we creating? We're creating anger. Yelling at someone because you're angry normally doesn't do anything but make the other person angry. So we have got to affect change with love, which is the only way the change really ever happens. So, new beginnings. This year, for today, I am going to react to situations with love, and I invite you to do the same. I'm sure there will be moments where you and I will feel angry about something. But there is a choice that we have as human beings on this planet on how to react to situations around us. We can jump up and down and scream and yell and be angry, or we can quietly lovingly reflect change in our lives. I have two guests today that I'm so honored that will be joining me, and I'm extremely excited about this couple. I met them when I was in Cincinnati, and they were workshop leaders and had actually hosted a workshop, and then they attended a workshop that I was hosting on the Sacred Triad and how to channel Ascended Masters. And we just had an amazing connection. And I was very excited. I wanted them to bring them into you folks so you could feel their energy and their passion. And they embody the message of change through love. They embody that. I will be bringing them on shortly. And thank you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being a part of Adriana's Mystic Connections. You know, Adriana's Mystic Connections is one of the most joyful things that I do, and I'm so thrilled to be able to bring it to you. And it's you folks out there listening that make it happen. So thank you. You are the Mystic Connections. And your energy brings me energy. Your vibrations bring me that the higher energy that that I'm so blessed to receive. So thank you. So, Courtney?
Yes.
Are Michael and Arlene here?
Yes, they are. Michael is, but I am going to bring him live for you.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello, Adriana. How are you, dear?
Wonderful. Is Arlene with you as well?
No, she's in her car driving back from Cleveland. She spent the past week up there with some friends.
Oh, okay. Well,
but she's listening, actually. She's listening. She called me on her cell phone about 5 minutes before 10 and said, please don't forget to call. She makes all the connections for me.
That's so beautiful. So when I was doing my presentation, I was staring out into the audience, and I was absolutely lifted by Arlene's smile. I made such an amazing connection with her, and
Yes. She
was sending me so much love and so much energy. It was just, it made my heart sing, and I had to go down there to just connect with her. And then once I connected with her, then I connected with you and felt your amazing energy. And then after the presentation, when we were talking, I was so thrilled to make your acquaintance.
Yes, actually, your presentation that weekend was the very last one on Sunday evening. And like many good things, the last thing you try is often exactly the answer.
Thank you.
So when we were looking for a way, we've been looking for a way to be more in touch with the spiritual side of things. And your presentation about Ascended Masters was just what we needed. Arlene felt very called to go to your presentation, and I united with that, and it was an excellent, excellent experience.
Thank you. And I love teaching it, and I love that, particularly coming from you and Arlene, because you and Arlene have been together for 40 years, and for 40 years, in one form or another, you have been studying spirituality and healing.
Well, actually, we've been followers of Reverend Sun Myung Moon for 40 years. we have been married to each other, blessed to each other. Actually, we call it a blessing because it really is a blessing. She is such an integral part of my spirit and my life, and I for her. We've been blessed to each other for about 34 years now. But to find a soulmate, to find your topic today is to face the world with love, I believe. I caught the first couple of minutes as I was dialing in.
Yes.
And that's our goal. That's our life's goal, you know, to receive the heart of God, the heart of Jesus. The center of the universe is love. And we're not just like the moon. We don't just reflect it. We can be joy generators if we try. And that's,
absolutely.
That's the focus.
And when we were talking, I was so amazed by yours and Arlene's generosity of spirit. But I'd like to share with everyone, if we could, how the two of you actually were married. So when I, as a reader, a lot of times people looking for love come to me, and they say, when will I find the one? And I often say back to them, if you're sitting in your living room doing nothing, you're never, ever going to find the one. And we all have many soulmates. And a lot of it is not just finding the one, but being committed. And your story is such a tale of commitment. So please tell us what happened.
Well, actually, I was raised Roman Catholic. Arlene was raised as an atheist. We were both searchers, though, searchers for truth, for love, et cetera, et cetera. And in our late 20s, we both came across the teachings of Reverend Sum Myung Moon, and we both joined his organization, the Unification Church.
Now, what time frame was this?
She joined in 72, and I joined in 75. Until we were blessed together, we'd never met each other. We had no idea either one of us existed. So, Reverend Moon, one of the things Reverend Moon is known for is mass weddings. And we believe that, I'll try to make this brief so we could stay with the point, but we believe that Reverend Moon has been given a mission to finish the work that Jesus started when he came here. So we truly, if you listen, read his teachings and listen to him, you want to trust him. And if you can trust him, which is what we did, then the center of his teachings is family and marriage and the blessing. So at the time in the 70s, to go to a matching where Reverend Moon would pick you and then pick your mate, you needed to be in the church for about 3 years, and you needed to have 3 spiritual children and some other spiritual qualifications. So Arlene and I were both in a matching on Mother's Day in 1979. And there were 3,000 people in the room. 2,000, 3,000, something like that. And
now,
out
where
of that
was that?
That was when or where?
Where?
In Manhattan, in New York City. In the New Yorker Hotel, the Grand Ballroom. We had all gathered there, and Reverend Moon proceeded to spend a day and a half matching people. And Arlene and I were two of those people.
Now, Arlene told me a little bit from her side, and since she's not on here, I just have to
to put in her little. She said that she was looking around and she saw you, Michael, and she said, "Oh, I hope it's that one."
Yeah. Well, we try the one of the requirements for getting to this matching position was at least 3 years of celibacy, because purity and celibacy and purity, basically purity of heart, purity sexually, purity of spirit, is very, very crucial to actually being able to manifest love for yourself and for others. So at the time, I had been thinking, I knew that a matching was coming up, but I didn't think I was pure enough to be there. I didn't think I was ready to go, but God did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was there. And I wasn't paying any attention to anything. And the next thing I know, Reverend Moon had a bunch of us brothers stand up. And he walked past me. He was walking back and forth in front of this line of brothers. He walked past me, and I saw him stop and talk to some of the sisters. And when he came past me again, he just grabbed me and pulled me in behind him. And I thought, oh, boy, now what do I do? And he pointed to a group of sisters. And as soon as Arlene stood up, everything in me said, that's her. This is it. And I couldn't believe it, honestly speaking, that it just, I'd never met her before. In fact, part of the procedure was to write our names down in a book and turn and bow and accept the matching. Instead, when we got up to the front, I said, can we go talk for a minute? And she said, okay, so we did. And I had all these, I don't know, practical questions.
Mm-hmm.
What's your name? How do I get in touch with you? I'd never met her before. There were 3,000 people there. I didn't have confidence to find her again once we got separated, if we went back to our rooms or whatever. Anyway, she looked at me and she says, you are going to accept, aren't you? And I said, sure. I just need to know who you are and what's your contact information. But anyway, it was, one of Reverend Moon's teachings is that out of the best harmony comes from a combination of opposites. I'm kind of, I don't know, quiet and laid back. But Arlene is a talker. Arlene is, she's a crusader. She's a really,
yeah.
She's a good woman. She wants to save the world.
You know
she
what, I would call
line.
Her,
she,
I would call her an earth angel.
That's a good description.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good description. Back in the 60s, during the civil rights movements, she was on picket lines integrating things. That was her family's heritage and legacy.
How does she feel about what's going on now? I mean, and a lot of times I'm asked, why are these things allowed to happen? And the reason why, and I'm talking about the recent violence between policemen and armed citizens. And the reason why, I'm told by my angels and guides, is that because, the press picks it up and highlights it, but it's highlighted because this is an area that we're now supposed to work on.
Yes.
So how does she think about that?
She basically is the kind of person that feels if people understood the truth, they wouldn't behave the way they do. And that it's her job, my job, to help people understand that truth by living it, but also by speaking it. Or I should say, not just speaking it, but by living it on a day-to-day basis. The smile that you saw on her face, the love that you felt from her, that's a conscious, continuous effort.
Yes, it was obviously directed. It was very...
Mm-hmm.
It was focused, yes. And so Can you tell us a little bit about that, about how you use that energy? I mean, I know you're Reiki master.
Yes, I'm a Reiki master, yeah.
And I know that you have that, but I mean, and not just from that, but from your whole entire conscious being. How do you react to situations like that, or the situation in Paris where the terrorist act just happened?
Well, I have to admit, this has been a very hard week for me. I find myself praying and meditating very deeply because my... Let me back up. We're not just this soul being walking the face of the earth. We are the result of ancestors and our environment and the nurturing that our family gave us, et cetera, et cetera. So we need to work as hard as we can to stay conscious,
mm-hmm.
to stay aware.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, when all this went down, I have to admit, my first reaction was, they're just mad dogs. They should be put down. Their lives should be forfeit, and they should have to spend some time in rehab in spirit world. And that was my first reaction. Yeah. And I thought, wait. That doesn't work, because that solution closes my heart.
Mm-hmm.
That solution brings anger in my heart. And it brings anger on their side. There's no resolution. There's no give and take. There's no chance for love or God to speak through the situation. So I don't have the ability to go to Paris, France. And I definitely didn't have or don't have, or won't have now, the ability to speak to these people. But I can pray for them. And I can pray deeply. I can meditate. I can send my spirit. I understand how to broadcast healing energy with Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
I broadcast healing energy with my spirit to these people. Now, some of them won't hear it. Some of them might, but most of them won't hear it. You know, when Jesus walked around on the face of the earth, we think of him as an ascended master. The people that he was rubbing shoulders with, most of them missed him. Most of them missed him. A select few could hear it. So the terrorists, the criminals, the unfortunate brothers in Paris that created this mess this week, they're separated. They're separated from themselves, their mind from their body. They're separated from the heart of God. They're separated from the love and compassion of their brothers and sisters, and their solution to things is to destroy, kill and destroy.
The tragedy is that the one was holed up asking for the brothers to be released, and then he would let his victims go, and
mm-hmm.
and then he was killed, and some of the victims were killed. At the same time,
some of the hostages
were fighting. And so in that man's heart, I'm sure he thought he was just trying to do the right thing. And I'm going to just get off topic for a moment.
Go ahead.
You know, all of our heroes, not all, but most of our heroes in movies and in video games solve things through violence.
Yes, unfortunately.
This is, we go in there and we do an Arnold Schwarzenegger. Which is my attempt at trying to be a minigun. But,
fortunately, you're not very good with sound effects, dear. It's not part of your character. It's not part of your spirit to do that.
My repertoire. You're right. It's so true. I failed even in the very beginning when I was teaching my son, you know, and he was a little baby, my first one. I was playing with toy cars, and I was going boom, boom, boom as I was playing with him. And my husband came in and looked at me and said, honey, it's vroom with a V, not vroom with a B. I went, oh, well. Oh, okay.
But yeah, the problem is separation. The problem is separation, anxiety, and fear. And too often, like you said, the solution is to eliminate the other. So
uh-huh.
when that popped up in my heart this week, I went, oh man, I'm in trouble here.
Uh-huh.
I have to really go much deeper for this. I have to find the core. Part of the Reverend Moon's teaching, part of our training, is I want to see the world through God's eyes.
Mm.
How did God, there's a famous poster of Einstein. He said, I want to know God's thoughts at creation, the rest are details. So I want to see the world through God's eyes. I want to be able to see what God sees in you. And Arlene and I work constantly with each other because we come from such different backgrounds, to be able to see each other through God's eyes and see what's the joy that this person brings to God. What's the place where I can help enhance that? What's the lesson I can learn from this person? What aspect of God does this person manifest on the face of the earth at this time? Because we are all individual, unique truth bodies. We are all perfect incarnations of some splinter of God's love and heart. He's there when we're conceived.
It's funny that you said splinter, because I am so often shown by my ascended masters that we are all part of one great big crystal, and that each ascended master and their followers are a facet of
yes.
that crystal.
Yes, that's a very good analogy. Yes. Yes, we're all part of it. And, you know, honestly speaking, when things like this week happen, in addition to the anger that pops up because of the violence, but it's like, oh, my God, Heavenly Father, how do you endure this? What do you do with this kind of sadness to watch your children do this to each other? How do you endure this? And the constant answer that comes back, if I'm quiet enough, if I'm deep enough to receive it, is I love them.
Mm.
I know they will reflect me eventually. It may take a very long time, but I have faith in their original nature being able to manifest.
Michael, we only have a few more minutes, so I need to do a
sure.
couple things really quickly. The first... my guides told me, and this is going to sound weird, I just have to say it the way my guide showed it to me.
Do it.
They told me to have you take a monster or evil and put
mm-hmm.
it down in front of you,
mm-hmm.
and then describe how you send it love. They wanted that. And then also...
Okay.
yours and Arlene's contact information, so anyone listening can reach out to you, especially if they're in the Cincinnati area. And
go ahead.
And also, I'd like you to quickly describe some of the services you offer. So I know that's a tall order in a short period of time, but go for it.
Well, let's dispense with the contact information quickly.
Okay.
They can reach me at 513-385-0934. I'm a pastor for the local church, for the Cincinnati Family Church. We meet on Sundays at 3987 Hamilton Middletown Road, which is up closer to Hamilton than Cincinnati. So 513-385-0934, or come out to our church center on Hamilton Middletown Road, 3987.
And what is
Hamilton,
the
Middletown.
Name of the church center again?
Cincinnati Family Church.
Cincinnati Family Church.
Yes, ma'am. We had a website, but it's crashed, and I'm working to get it back up.
Oh, dear.
That the website is actually Unification Church of Cincinnati. It's crashed, and I'm working with some people to get it back up.
Okay. Well, once you get that back up, let us know, and we'll send it out in a newsletter.
Okay. And as far as the monster is concerned, the first obstacle is to realize, is to recognize that that monster expects to be feared. That monster wants me to be afraid. That monster wants to separate us and have a dominion of power instead of love. So I can't have give and take with that. I know when this happens, I've been confronted by Satan several times in my life. When
that's
this happens,
why they wanted me to have you do that. Oh, okay.
Yeah. When it happens, it's not the first thought. It's getting closer to the first thought, but it's not. It was not my first thought at that time. But essentially, you can't hurt me unless I give you permission. You can't touch me. I am God's child. You can't touch me. You can't hurt me. Now, let's talk about why you're so angry. Let's talk about where your pain comes from. Let's talk about why you want to do destructive, selfish things. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be that way. You may not believe me, but it's true. And I keep working like that, and I keep working like that. And if you don't give in to fear, if you don't give in to anger, if you can stay focused on the concept, I am God's child, the principle of creation says that goodness and truth and beauty are my natural heritage. I don't have to accept the anger and the bitterness that you feel. I am so sorry that you feel it. I am so sorry that you can't feel God's heart and God's love. But I don't have to accept that from you. And I keep working with it. And one of two things will happen. They disappear, or they get really quiet and just stand off to the side. They're no longer confronting me. But it takes a while. It
mm-hmm.
takes a while to do that.
That was
and
beautiful.
I think
that was amazing.
It's a matter of being able to believe that you can generate enough love, because that's the only answer to everything in the universe is unconditional love.
We are all one.
Yes, we are all a piece of the same loving fabric of the universe, the loving being at the center of the universe. We are all a piece of that, and we all have, we forget, we get distracted. We get caught up with how to make my car run and how to dress warm enough to not get frostbite in 2-degree weather.
And what's going on with my job? And the time went by so fast. I just enjoyed so much your energy, and I really appreciate, thank you for giving us the knowledge to deal with that deep hate and anger and how to do that and how to face it with love. I'm now going to be taking many callers, so if you like, you may stay on and offer advice if you wish.
I'll
or
stick
if
around
you don't wish to, then you don't have
speaks.
To. It's your choice.
Yeah, I can stick. I can hold.
Great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Courtney, we're ready for our first caller then.
Awesome. I just want to share with our listeners, if you'd like a mini reading, please call in at 646-378-0378 and please push 1. We've had several callers today that I wasn't able to hear, so I just want to get that number out. And if you're trying to get through for a mini reading, please push number 1. Our first caller today is Diane, and she is calling from California. Welcome to the show, Diane.
Well, thank you.
Hello.
Such insight you shared. I love how you resonate with me. Oh, it is. It's all from the heart. And when you communicate from the heart, you hear the answers and you get such quality of life back from everybody in your atmosphere. Anyway, I just love what you are sharing.
Thank you.
My quick question is romance, and it's love. And there are two men in my life, and one of them is kind of over.
One of them doesn't belong there is what they said right away.
Both of them, do you think?
I don't know, but one for sure doesn't belong there.
The old, right, for sure. And I kind of walked away from him recently. Now, the new one who kind of pulled back.
Can we talk about the old one for a second?
Sure.
Okay. The old one needs to be 100% completely released, regardless of the new one. The old one needs to be released because he is shackled to you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel him, too, and I wish that wasn't happening.
You must be 100% honest and blunt and say, I will always care for you as a friend, but I need to cut communication right now so there's no confusion.
Yeah, he's okay with that because I kind of said that to him. And we haven't spoken in almost, I don't know, 2 weeks. And not that we were even together before that, but it was different. And I just told him I've moved on.
And Michael, what are your thoughts about that?
I agree with what Adriana is saying. If you feel that there's still a connection, then you need to work in your heart to let it go.
I know. You're right.
He's not trying to contact you, right?
Correct.
Okay, well then, heal your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only, just like a flower has to face the sun, the only way you can face a new relationship, a new love, is completely. So, yeah, Adriana's right. You have to let go of this other relationship. There's some part of you that is comforted by it.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to let it go.
In a way, it feels like you're sort of using it as balm for your soul, the one that you're letting go. Okay, now the new one, because it's scary jumping out there into the underworld. Now the new one, can you give me
your
first name only, please?
Sheldon.
All right. You need to listen to him because he's telling you things and you're not sure whether to believe him or not. You need to listen to him.
Yes. Oh, my God. He speaks the truth. Because there's another woman he was seeing for many years. He said it's only a relationship because he owes him money and he wants to be nice. But it's kind of strange. She's quite much younger. He and I are the exact same age. We went to high school together.
He needs you to listen to him and trust him and believe in him. And that's the step that's holding him back. He's worried about your reactions. One of the things that's holding him back. He's been through kind of the ringer, and he's kind of worn out. He's not 100% sure he wants to be in a relationship at all.
That's what he's been saying, too. He said it would take a really long time.
There needs to be patience here, and there needs to be love. There is something there if you put some time into it. I cannot say for sure that it's going to work, but I will tell you it has a much better chance of working if you kind of take your hands off of it and say, hey, I'm interested in you, I care about you, and I'd like to move forward with you and work on trust issues. And you have trust issues because you've been betrayed in the past, which makes sense. But this is not that person.
Right. Okay. Quick question. Should I contact him or should I wait till he contacts me? What happened was over Christmas, 2 days before, he sent me a text And it wrote Christmas with an exclamation point. Do I want to have a barbecue? And he mentioned a restaurant that was open. And I went back and forth. We make a date. And then he writes, fine. He writes back, I apologize. This wasn't for you. Oh, my God. So then he calls me. And, of course, my heart was racing. I didn't want to speak because I was flabbergasted because it was on Christmas. So then, and it showed I was available. So then he said, he calls me and the message said, I want to be with you. I want to take you to a barbecue, take you to the restaurant, but just not that day. And he said, please call me. And I haven't called him. But I sent him a text. Okay. I said, it's okay. Those things happen. And I blew it off.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he hasn't called me since. And I haven't returned his call. And it's been since 2 days before Christmas. So I'm wondering if I should move on from him, too.
You know what? It's counterintuitive, but I feel, and Michael, let me know how you feel. I feel like, you know, you need to contact him again, even if it's only for closure. And I feel like there's still a tiny crack open in this door and that there may be possibilities here. And, Michael, what are you getting?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you, once again, you stepped back or you there's a separation. And with both of these gentlemen, you need to, with the one, bring closure, and with the other one, actually, in a way, bring closure or at least take the next step. The new guy, I forget what you said his name was, you should
Sheldon.
Call him. Sheldon, yeah. Respond
I
to
should.
Sheldon.
Okay.
Not pushing, just responding, say, hi, haven't heard any more back from you. Just what Adriana said before. I like you. I'm interested in a relationship. Where do we go from here?
But be honest about it. Let him know
that
if you're going to be in a relationship with him, you need him to be in that relationship with you and not playing the field. You know, if you're going to try this, you need serial monogamy, at least, where he's, you know.
Yeah.
A, what you said initially when you brought up his name, you said, you know, he's been hurt and he doesn't know if he wants to commit again. And I agree with that. That's very, and we're both, we just hit 60, and we grew up together, and we have a lot of, and I hadn't seen him forever, and then we had a class reunion in November. So we've only been together 4 times we've gone out. And it was right during the holiday, so of course I didn't expect for him to embrace me with, you know, Christmas and New Year's. I was hoping, but it didn't work out that way. And the other guy was around, and that's when I knew it was over, because I had thoughts of this. And I don't usually do that at my age. I haven't had anyone in my life other than this one man for almost 7 years. So now, I appreciate, you know, Michael, I am going to try it, but Adrian's right. If he doesn't want to commit or continue, it's not about me. It's about him. I can't take it from. I understand, Michael. That's what you were saying earlier. It's not. Yeah. I get it. It's not about. It's all about self.
Yeah, it's all about self. And everything around us is a reflection of us. And God bless and good luck. And keep in touch. Let us know how it goes.
Thanks. Love you guys.
Oh,
God
love
bless.
You. Okay, Courtney, who do we have next?
We have Lisa, and she is calling from Florida. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
And I just have a comment about the technical difficulties that you were experiencing. When that happens, that's our guides getting in the way. Although that person is very valuable and the question that they have is real, for some reason, they're not to ask that question, or they're not. There's somebody else who needs to ask a question more on the show. So that's one of the ways that the guides get in the way and do things. I've experienced it many, many, many times in my life.
Well, thank you for letting me know that.
Yeah, it's not just technology.
That's right. And I'm sorry, who is it we have in Florida?
We have Lisa.
Hello, Lisa.
Hello, how are y'all today?
Good. And for some reason,
There is joy around you. So you bring joy into the world and you bring joy to the radio show. So thank you for bringing joy.
Yes.
And, you know, I broke a rule. I normally have a rule, and I broke it, which is everyone has to answer a question when they call into the show. And I forgot to put up my question. So the question for you, Lisa, is what is your new beginning for this year?
Going from pain to power.
Oh, I love that.
Yes, yes. I'm just breaking free. Breaking free.
There's great joy around you, and there is great abundance around you, and it's for you to accept it.
Yes,
and I think
yes.
You're more ready now to accept it.
Yes, I am, definitely. I do have a question. Can I ask it? Or?
Yes. Please.
Okay. My son is, my husband passed away 4 months ago, and my son is going through a terrible grief reaction, and I'm wondering if you're picking up anything concerning my son, David.
Okay. Can you give me his age?
Yeah, he's 27.
There is somehow guilt associated there. He feels guilty and remorseful, and also, oh, he's just concerned about his future. He's concerned about his life path, particularly money. And what are you picking up, Michael?
What was your son's relationship with your husband? Were they close?
They were not too close, no. They were in his formative years, but then the marriage separated for a long, long time before he passed away. And so...
That's the guilt.
Part of the problem in our culture is that we see death as a final stage instead of a transition. We are essentially spiritual beings wrapped in a physical shell. When the physical shell falls away, we still exist. And in fact, many of us go to a place that's much more comfortable. Some of us still have things to work out, but death should not be a time of great tears and remorse. Death should be a time of celebration and transition.
So,
I just wanted to say that this is a very severe issue. My son is in the hospital right now. He keeps ODing, and he actually wants to leave this off plane.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't know how to help him. I don't know what to do, and it's so hard for me. I'm his mother, and
mm-hmm.
it's so.
You know, you cannot. I'm sorry. You cannot help him. You cannot. There is nothing that you can do.
You can't fix it.
Yes, the only person who can fix this is your son, and part of the reason.
Has your son been substance abusing for long?
Yes, yes, he has. He is an addict. And he's also
that's
bipolar.
The point. That's the reason for the separation, right? Between him and his father, that's the reason they're not close?
No,
not really. You're right, exactly.
It was the separation. And also, your son has anxiety issues.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does. He's bipolar. He's actually bipolar. And he's just having such a hard time. And I just, what do I do? Please
okay, so
me.
The way that he's dealing with medication is trying to self-medicate the anxiety issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And and he needs counseling, and he needs support, and he needs to be watched. And I think the death of his father triggered this to some extent
because he
has so
it
much
did.
Remorse.
He wasn't doing this. He wasn't doing it before his father died.
For
when
not
his
connecting
died,
with his father before he died, he was angry with his father, and part of the reason why he was angry was on your behalf.
okay.
So, Michael, what should this poor mom do for this young man? What can she do? What outreach services are there, or what would you suggest?
you say he's in the hospital now, right?
Yes, he is, and I'm so thankful. I mean, they finally got him on a, what they call a Marchman Act. They Baker Acted him several times, and that wasn't working because he kept even leaving on a Baker Act. But now they have him on some sort of a Marchman Act, and he's
okay.
He's in the hospital.
Yeah. So you need to be connected to him and to the counselors that are working with him.
Yes, I am.
On one hand, it's a fine line between enabling and encouraging.
I don't know how
you
to do it. I think I'm enabling.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you have to let go of the fact that, or you have to accept the fact, you can't fix it. You can't fix his situation, but you can pray for him, and you can love him, and you can be a source of consistent love and insight in his life, because that's as Adriana said, anxiety issues come from the feeling of separation, come from a feeling of, I don't believe that there's anything good out there.
You know, one of the exercises that my guides are talking about is sitting him down and just explaining to him, well, it's so easy to sit him down because he's in the hospital, how many lives that he affects, how many lives he's torn if he left, how important he is. Not just to you, but the people around you. And then he needs to have a sacred purpose. Part of this is his sacred flame has been extinguished. He doesn't know what his sacred purpose is. And you cannot give him a sacred purpose. Only he can have that. But he has to reignite that flame.
And why has that been extinguished? Why doesn't he know his purpose? I mean,
I have to tell you, this is a mini reading session. We can do so much, and my heart goes out for you, and I'd love to do more in-depth for you.
Contact you and Michael? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So you can contact me at mysticconnect@aol.com or Adriana@mysticconnections.com. Those are my two emails. You can go to my website, mysticconnections.com, and contact me there. And then my phone number is 248-379-7324. And Michael?
Yeah, you can reach me at 513-385-0934.
Yeah, because I need a male perspective, too. I don't have a male in my life. I have no one to help guide me. So, Michael, I need, So, so what is that number again, Michael?
513.
That was his father's name, by the way.
Strong man. 513-385-0934.
I'm so blessed that we were able to make this connection. And the joy that I felt around you when you first came out, it was such a strong joy. I have to tell you, I believe that's your husband.
You have tremendous resilience, Lisa.
Yes, I'm trying. I'm trying real hard. I sure appreciate both of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear.
You know, a lot of times when people are traveling through the astral planes, where they are once they pass from this realm is such a place of joy and love.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes when they first cross, especially, there is so much joy and so much love. And there's a lot of angels working with Lisa, too. The biggest thing that she has to face is that this is his journey, and she can only do so much. And that's hard for a mother. It's hard.
Yeah.
Well, Michael, what a pleasure it's been to have you on the show. It's just amazing.
Well, honestly speaking, meeting you here in Cincinnati was a life changer for me. I think I told you at the time, I've been intuitive all my life, but I've never really trusted it so much because the world seemed to be going in the opposite direction. So with the presentation you gave of the Ascended Masters and encouraging me And what happened when we were talking, you know, it was my turn to give you a message.
Mm-hmm.
That happens quite frequently for me. When I meet someone, if I'm at all centered, all I feel is tremendous love for that person.
Mm.
And I just want to look them in the eye and say, do you know how much God really loves you? Do you know how much God loves you?
Mm.
So I try to look in the mirror and say the same thing to me to remind me.
You know, I have been shown again and again and again, because I will get messages, I'll say, nah. You know, and then they come out to be that way. I've been shown again and again and again and again that when I have that intuitive push, that's my guys and angels saying, go do this. Go help that person. Go. And when we give blessings, we are blessed.
Yes. Yes.
Courtney, do we have time to put one more quick question in? You think?
Yes, we do. We have about 3 minutes left, but I'm going to be honest with you. You actually got through all of our callers today.
Oh, do we have anyone in the chat?
We have a lot of people listening in chat today, but you know what? I think that they're so inspired by your guest and your topic today that they're enjoying listening to the show.
Wow.
God works in strange and mysterious ways.
Yeah, the technical difficulties that... I do have to say that I am a student of spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy meeting people of different faiths. And I am always impressed by the similarities between the different faiths.
Yes. Yes. If we dwelt on the similarities instead of the differences, it would be a whole lot faster and easier to get along.
Yes. Yes. We all have
our relative basis.
Yes. We all have our separate paths up the mountain.
Absolutely. That's the analogy I use all the time. There are many paths up the mountain, but there's only one top.
Yes.
So, yeah. Ah. It's good.
Thank you so much
people.
For being a guest on the show. I appreciate your energy and your love and your loving message. And,
yes, we'll have to do this again when Arlene is here.
I would love to do that.
Because I truly believe, like you said, that it was just, I was watching when we were in your presentation, and you were just looking out at the crowd, and somehow you looked to where Arlene and I were sitting, and it's kind of like you just kind of got lifted off the stage and brought down and put in front of Arlene.
Absolutely. So, I heard the push, that lady. Look at the love from that lady. You know, I felt it. And then you were initially concerned.
I was skeptical, and I wasn't sure I wanted to be there. And then it turned out to be a really good thing.
Yeah, where we were supposed to be. Well, blessings to you, and thank you for the light you bring into the world.
Yes, bless you. Peace, truth, goodness, and beauty be yours always, dear.
Thank you. I love that.
Yes.
Okay, everyone, go out there. It's a new beginning for us all.
God bless.
God bless.